Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you're listening to Mac's Musings. Tonight's guest is JJ4, and we will be talking to him in a moment as soon as this thing dials his number. There we go. And hopefully it won't take him long to...
Hello?
Hello, JJ.
Hi.
Hi, this is Mac.
Hi, Mac, how are you?
Oh, I'm okay, and how are you tonight?
Doing all right.
Well, good, good.
Mm-hmm.
So usually I like to ask at least one personal type question of my guests. So the question that I wanted to ask you, and it's a two-part question, when did you decide to go into filmmaking, and did you always want your love of music to be a part of that venture?
Well, I think when I really got into filmmaking, I would say around 2012, probably around the time of Battle of the Subconscious Mind, the one that this one I helped out with on the 48-hour film festival. I had done a couple things, I think, before then, like a music video for one of my own songs. That was for a class project. That's when I had attended the Art Institute. But music has always been my number one passion. And of course, the follow that was acting, and then also photography too. I've gotten into photography as well. I love also adding the music to the film. The first one, the Battle of the Subconscious Mind, was the first one that I contributed. And it's from my band, the Stereo Planetary Audio Construct.
Yeah, you composed the music on that one, right? Battle of the Subconscious Mind.
Well, I think that the particular the first track I heard in that was my bandmate had composed that track. We jump around with we play different instruments.
Mm-hmm.
That's never set. So that was one of the tracks that he had composed. And really got into it, actually, when a briefcase, when the one that I made a cameo appearance, and I used all the band's music there. And so, like, that's between the three of us, me and both my bandmates. But, yeah, definitely, aside from incorporating my band music or my solo stuff into films, I at some point want to start composing music specifically for the film.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you can make a good I think you can make a good living off of that from what I've heard, because I've seen several of the movies that you've done, and any music that you've been involved with is always great.
Thank you.
Quite welcome.
And yeah, and even since then, I've got more into acting. I actually got into voice acting too. I have a YouTube channel, and I have something called The Gnome, or it's The Gnome Saga, and I do most of the voices on that.
Oh, cool. Concerning your voice acting, you do some characters or something called Vince and Slate for Shadowframe reviews?
Reviews, yes. Slate and Vincent, it's kind of hard to do it right now, but yeah.
All right, I am Vincent. I am the other co-host on Shadowframe Reviews.
That's cute. So now
I enjoy doing those voices. They're great. Slate and Vincent and all the gnomes too.
So I know it's called the Gnome Saga. So it's like you do like how many different gnome voices, like 10 or something.
I think, well, two of the voices, one of them, so Granddaddy Gnome.
Like Granddaddy Gnome.
Edward. Larry. And then there's the Rocking Gnomes. And this guy, I have to do them separate. And they always sing about everything that's happening whenever they make a noise. And Ambrose Hunter Bellflower is voiced by my friend and co-actor Ray Calvin, and my girlfriend Jen Desco. She does the voice for Marilyn. So I'm planning on bringing her in another episode too, and like continuing from there. I'm working on an 8th episode right now, and I've kind of been bouncing around with a couple things. Just a lot of just busy lately, and then within the last week or so. I've been, I helped out with a couple other, I was in another film that Todd Wolfson is working on. yeah. And then there's another one that I just helped out with. I just like took some back behind the scenes photos at, for the 48-hour film festival this year.
Yeah, those are always interesting, and I know that Briefcase, which I really like that film. That was such a good film, a little short film, and that was the one that, like you said, you had the little part in it, but that little part was good. It won award for, I believe it was for the choreography.
Choreography, I think. I'm not sure. I think so. I think it was...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think it was for choreography. I think that's what it won the award for.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, and I'm pretty sure because I remember thinking at the time that I found out that it won, that well, it deserved it because when you watch that chase and all the stuff that happens, it's like that was so great. And the part that I really liked, and I know this doesn't have anything to do with you specifically, but the part where they show the cat watches him run by.
Yeah. Gizmo. That was my cat's name, Gizmo. That was, someone who had lived there before, my roommate's friend, who had lived there, that was his cat. That was great.
So going back to the voice acting, I just wanted to make sure that you let whatever audience we may have or whoever listens later to the recorded version, let them know about the YouTube channel that you have for Gnome Saga.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what it is, how it can... find it.
I noticed that when I think because I have only been on there for a little bit over a year now, even when I type my name in the search, something else comes up. If you type my name and then like the Gnome Saga, it should pop up because I started adding the hashtags on the videos, and there's 7 episodes. Yeah, there's 7 episodes. There's like a couple in between shorts. I did a short here recently with Larry, and one before that was Granddaddy Gnome.
And also let people know of the YouTube channel for the Shadow Frame Reviews, where they can listen to you do your Vincent Slate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's Matthew Diolis is a director, and there's another Matthew Diolis out there, so I would like Shadow Frame Productions and his name after it if you can't find it. But I encourage everybody to watch his check out his channel. And with mine, too, there's also, of course, the music and a lot of music on there for Jordan and, like, little skits and little random stuff that I do.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to check those out because you do great voices.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've gone over a couple of your things so far, and I know you've got like 10 different things, or 9 or 10 different things. One of them was the tree from Black Ridge Village that composed. But what I found interesting was you were the animation director.
Yeah.
Or is that something that IMDb got wrong?
maybe so. What it was is I provide the track that they used from that me and my band and I had done. It was called Horror Film Reverie. It was just like a short instrumental, and they used that as the opening for the opening music, and it won an award for best musical score and best editing. And so I'm not sure about the animation director. I'm not sure what I don't know. So I don't know who had set up my IMDb page, but I'd really like to get into that and like really update that because I don't know who had messed with it. But, I think it only has a small handful, like maybe 3 or 4 films on there and a couple other things.
Yeah, there's only 4 on there.
Yeah.
And, well, you can go in there and fix your own page. I think you have to pay, but it doesn't cost that much to get the IMDb Pro, I think they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go in and change your page,
mm-hmm.
different information on your page and update it and things like mm-hmm. that. So, yeah, you might want to do that because there are several things that are missing, I know, because there's briefcases on there, and so is Battle of the Subconscious Mind, the tree from Black Ridge Village, and then mm-hmm. one that we haven't talked about yet was the Pawns of Dr. King.
Dr. King.
And you wrote that one and acted on it.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
I came up with the concept with the chessboard. It is what I came up with, and that was one of my favorite roles there. That was really enjoyable. And the guy that I acted with, who was the main patient, Matt Stepp, I don't know. We don't even hear, like, I don't know what happened to him. I was in a couple other films with him. It was really awesome working with him on set, but yeah, that was a lot of fun playing the crazy.
Well, now for the audience, now I've seen these 4 films. I saw a couple of the other ones too, but for the ones that may not have seen them or are interested in seeing them, if you could give us like a short synopsis of the Pawns of Dr. King and then the other 3 that we just talked about.
So the main character, Lance, he taken to a mental institution and where he meets the doctor and the doctor's questioning him, and then, do you know what you've done? And something tragic had happened to him that I guess led to him being feeling like kind of like he went crazy, or they thought he was crazy, and then and he gets to meet all these other weird patients, and there's at some point my character something happens at the end. There's a twist at the end, but it has a bit of a concept like with the whole chessboard and all the pieces represent something. And that you can find on Shadow Frame Productions channel.
Mm-hmm. And what about the tree from Black Ridge Village?
Oh, someone buys a nutcracker, and there's something about it. It's made from the tree from Black Ridge Village, and there's something bad about it. It's creepy, the nutcracker. Actually, the one that was used, it's the same one that it's Vince. It does Shatter a Frame reviews, but it's great.
Yeah, those are both good movies. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Matthew had, and I hadn't had a chance that year to go to the awards, but the judge, really, one of the judges said he really liked the story. He said he wished it could have gone further with it. Like, they loved the opening score, but yeah, and I could see that.
Yeah, I really like that one. I like The Pawns of Dr. King, too. And actually, both of the other ones, too, The Battle of the Subconscious Mind and Briefcase. So give us a brief synopsis of Battle of the Subconscious Mind.
See, I don't remember that one too well, because I wasn't actually in it. But He talks to the main character, talks to his future self, so he goes back to do whatever his other self suggests that he does, and so there's kind of like a reverse in time.
Well, the way that I had described it to somebody once, because they wanted to know what it was about, and I said, well, without telling you everything about it, it's basically like what the title says. It's some guy that's having a battle with himself in his subconscious mind. So, and give us a short little synopsis of Briefcase. And I love this little film.
Oh, yes. I can't remember how it started. When the other dude's chasing him, and he's just like, and he thinks, oh, he's after me. Why is this guy's after me? So he's like trying to outrun him, and it's hilarious all the things that happen. He even goes in a van and goes through the other side. I forget how they got that shot, but it was great, the story behind it, but. And then it ends up at the end where he's just like on the shoulder.
Well,
yeah,
you don't want to tell the exact ending because for the people that haven't seen it,
So I don't know.
It's a great ending.
Yeah, it's a great ending.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh no. Go ahead.
Well, it wasn't anything important I was going to say, and I don't mean to interrupt you. It's just that with Blog Talk Radio, there's a little bit of problem with the sound, and sometimes I think you're done talking, or I don't know that you've started talking until I realize that we're both talking at the same time. So sorry about that, but it's not my fault, but I do apologize. go ahead with the thought that you had.
The one character chases the other in Briefcase, and there's just it ends differently than you think it's going to end. And it's hilarious what happens at the end. And with the music, with the changes in the song, the atmosphere kind of changes, and it's just like different at the end from like the beginning. It was cool. They were both, I think at one point, Luke, I think that whenever he jumped, I think he almost like he kind of stumbled a bit, but he kept going, something like that. I forget, something like that. There's
Well, that film was hilarious. I even showed that one to my family. and, well, part of my family. And the funny thing was is that the family that I showed it to, they're kind of picky about stuff. And, you know, which actually everybody is. Everybody has their likes and dislikes. But by picky, I mean there's lots of things that they won't tolerate when they're watching, like bad language and just a little bit of skin, let alone if there's, like, full nudity. But so I'm always cautious about what I have them watch. But I was showing them that. And they laughed through the entire thing, especially with that cat.
That was one of the funniest things.
Yeah, the cat, and of course the end. And they and my sister and brother-in-law both said, "I was not expecting that. That is funny." So hopefully that'll get a new audience to watch it. Just hearing about that. Excuse me. So we can move on to another one. And this one I've seen as well, but I'll let you give a synopsis and tell us about working on it. Signs point to yes. Tell us about that.
My character, is down on his luck. The things are going wrong for him. And he stumbles across something that turns that around for him. And there's an eight ball involved with that. But yeah, his luck begins to change, and you see him go from like this down and out person to at the end, it's like completely different. I don't want to give too much away.
Right.
Yeah. And all the things that happen, just like it just goes from one bad thing to the next. There's even a scene where I get really frustrated, and it's hilarious. There's a nice little music track that goes with just that one scene where I'm just flipping out, and it's a track from my band. I've played a trumpet, which I've been out of practice for a little while, but I did it at the time on this track that we had recorded. And so Matthew used the piece of it in that scene. And it's hilarious to watch the dialogue it had, and then it would just catch the you seeing me just it's more comical, and it makes you like kind of step back and go, like, ooh.
And for those that don't know or don't remember, depending on how old somebody is, the eight ball that JJ is talking about now it's retro, but I remember when they were really, really popular. It's a little eight ball. You shake it up, and it'll say different things like signs point to yes or no or maybe or different things like that. And so that's what he's talking about.
Or highly unlikely or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is a good little film. So
It took a few tries to get that. With the signs point that one to pop up when the guys were getting that shot, but
because that thing, of course, it was just like the luck of the draw, so to speak. Like you could ask it anything and shake it up, and it would give you some stupid question. Because when I had one, I shook it up and said, "What's my name?" And it said, "Signs point to yes." Okay, now I'm going to ask you about one I haven't seen, not yet, is My Soul Forever. So if you can give a short synopsis. And then whatever else you want to tell us about it.
I don't even remember the main character's name.
That was another one that Matt Stepp, the one that had been in those other two, Pawns of Doctor, he was chasing Luke in Briefcase. He was that guy. And so played like I was a co-star in that one. I was the man in black. So he's kind of like, he's lost someone like that, but whenever he's feeling like just horrible, you see, I got this guy that's whispering in his ear to do this and that. And so like I follow him everywhere. And then there's a scene where we have a little bit of dialogue, and at some point he gets to reunite with his girlfriend or something like that, and that's as much as I remember of it.
Well, let me ask you if you remember, because actually this sounds familiar. I don't know why I wouldn't remember it, but sometimes I see things without seeing the titles, and so that's why I may not know. But is that the one where it's in regular color, like a regular movie, but when he's walking around with that man, that it's in black and white?
Yeah, I think yeah. There's a couple scenes like that. Yeah, and see like,
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a black and white scene in there.
Okay, so I probably have seen that. I'm not absolutely positive, but it's been a while. That's probably why my mind is like, eh. anything else you want to tell us about that? If not, we can move on to another one. Either way, you know, I want my guests to be happy.
I think that's all on that one.
Okay. So another one is Serial Fantasies. So if you could give a short synopsis and then tell us whatever else you want us to know.
So I was a Dr. Zach Gordon. It was one of the names that they gave us to use in the 48-hour film festival. That one was lots of fun. So it's just my character looking at different people around that are walking in the park and fantasizing about killing every one of them. And it has this build up with the music, and it's this comical what you're seeing. At first, you see what they're actually doing, and it's funny. And then there's something that happens at the end with someone he has kind of a bit of an interaction with.
Okay, there's another one that you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's where I got to do. I go from several different facial expressions. And
cool.
Yeah.
So people get to see your acting ability with your facial expressions.
It's just. I enjoy it. That was one of my favorite roles. It was a lot of fun to do that one.
Yeah, it's always nice when you have fun doing a different role. And if you're done talking about that, I'm not trying to rush you because we've got plenty of time. We've still got 15 minutes. That's how fast the time goes. We're done 15 minutes. But if there's something else you want to say about it, that's fine, because we've got plenty of time.
Okay. Especially doing like this, the scene where you just see my character sitting, and then it cuts to whatever. I really enjoyed doing those, and there was a really, anyone hasn't seen it, check it out. It's on on the Shadow Frame Productions channel too. It's there's a scene with me and Matt Stepp, and it's great the way it's done in slow motion, and it's great. I loved it how they shot it. So many good shots in that movie. And Janine, I don't know how the actress that was in that too, she did an amazing job.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that I haven't seen, so I couldn't, say anything. I mean, I'm sure she was great, but I personally can't say whether I think she was great or not because I haven't seen it. So there's another one called 8-Bit Bloodbath, and so if you give us a short synopsis of that and then tell us whatever you want us to know about that one.
Yeah, so the main character, Billy Blitzkrieg, he's invited to a friend's party, and they're doing this crazy ritual, and it leads to them sacrificing him. So he turns into what, the 8-bit killer, and I play the part of the brother, Torrance Blitzkrieg, who's trying to find him and stop him. And it's a horror comedy. It was a lot of fun to do that one. And
yeah, I love horror comedies. And you have fun working on that one too.
Oh yeah.
So now I wanted to ask you something else. I mean, it's nothing like putting you on the spot or nothing. But I know that you work with Matt a lot. And so when did that start, your introduction to working with films with him, just for the audience?
I believe that was 2012. I think that was around the time Battle of the Subconscious Mind, and that's when I had, because I went to the Art Institute, I was able, because I'd taken a class where we were able to check out the video camera, so they needed one to use, so you get that in for like a day or something. I think that was when he used that, or it might have been before they shot that film, but it was around that time I met Matt. And, because before then I hadn't known him. But so, yeah, it was 2012. And I think start really hanging out until, 2013, and that's when we got into, the Pawns of Dr. King and...
And you met him, and then you just kind of liked his style of filmmaking and decided to start making films with him. Is that kind of it?
Yeah. And then, of course, the 48-hour film festival, I was like, I had an interest in that. I've kind of gotten tired of it over time, but I think, I get to they're so much fun. But that's a limited amount of time, but it's
right.
That's one thing that got me interested. And I would hang out more with the video dudes that went to the Art Institute.
For those listening that don't know about the 48-hour film festival, what that is they give the people who want to enter, they give them a genre, like say horror or sci-fi or something, and then you have to make a film out of that, and it may be like totally out of your usual range of what you do, but it doesn't matter. You have to do whatever they give you, mm-hmm. and you only have 48 hours to make it. So mm-hmm. that is like a really, it's hard, like you said. It's hard mm-hmm. because you only got the 48 hours, and you're rushing
yeah.
around and everything. But doesn't mm-hmm. it also give you like this sense of satisfaction when it's all done and you get in there,
oh,
even
yeah.
if you don't, even if you don't win, but especially
yeah.
if you win.
Oh yeah, especially if you win. But yeah, even if you don't, I mean, it's still so enjoyable making it. And yeah, and with this for anyone who's not familiar with that, and just to elaborate on it a little bit more, like they'll give you a name that you use, a line of dialogue, a prop, and of course, like the first night, whenever they meet for the drawing, you draw like a genre out of a hat or whatever. Yeah. So that's fun. Like it's in a way, it's even challenging that way. Well, it's nice that you have like a little bit something to work with.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most people kind of like how that's done. I mean, if I was mm-hmm. a filmmaker, I would like that. Like, hey, especially if it's something I'm not used to doing. At first, I'd be like, oh, man, I don't think I've ever made a, you know, whatever. Like, say if I had never made a horror, I've only done dramas, and I'm given a horror, mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, no, horror, but I'd make
mm-hmm. it. Yeah, and with me, I like about any genre, so it's like, it's like horror is one of them. Comedy, some sci-fi, definitely drama. Drama is something I want to get a little more into too. Like, but yeah, I like about any genre.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I got my favorites because one of my favorites is sci-fi, but that doesn't mean I like all sci-fi because there's a lot of movies. Yeah, there's a lot of movies that call themselves sci-fi, and after you watch it, you're like, this isn't a sci-fi. How did they get away with calling this sci-fi? And I've seen quite a few of those, and I don't like that. And I don't like movies that they're dumb. And by dumb, I mean not like the dumb kind of thing where you're watching Gilligan's Island and they're dumb. I like that kind of dumb because that's funny. But when you're watching a movie like when I saw with Denzel Washington one time, okay, so he's supposed to be like the best of the best of guarding people because he's a bodyguard. And he has this girl, this little girl that he's taking care of. She's only like 10 years old or something. And so he sees somebody like 200 or 300 feet away, and he says to her, okay, you stay here, and I'm going to go get that guy. So he leaves her there by herself while he goes after this guy that's several hundred feet away, and then he seems surprised when she gets taken. It's like, what, you numbskull? And that didn't even... Yeah, that didn't even make sense to the movie because he was supposed to be the best, and the best would know better than that. If you're supposed to take care of somebody and watch them and be their bodyguard, you're pretty much going to be on them 24/7 to make sure that they're okay, especially a little kid. But no, he leaves her there by herself, and then, of course, she gets taken. But I'm mainly like you. Any genre, I really don't care. So what? Actually, we're down to the last. We still have like 5 minutes, 45 minutes. But you had said you wanted 40 minutes, but we can still go because we still have five minutes. Excuse me. Okay, so I did want to ask you if you had to pick one of the films that you've done to introduce somebody to your work, like, you know, say some producer said, well, send me something of your work, just one film, send me something. Which film would you pick to send to them, to introduce them to your work?
Oh, yeah, tough one.
Too hard?
yeah, because,
What about the one where you did all the faces?
Yeah, I think, you know, Serial Fantasies was one of the first ones I was thinking. Sweet Revenge is another one. I don't think we talked about that one. That was a 48-hour film one. I mean, the ones that we talked about, I'd say Serial Fantasies, so they get a sense of all the different emotions that I can project. I mean, it's just you can see it, but it's. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's a good one as far as that's concerned.
Cool.
Something maybe a little, like maybe where I'm a little creepy, you know. Well, there is that in Serial Fantasy, so you could so. Maybe the Pawns of Dr. King, but still Serial Fantasy, definitely, because you could see all the different facial expressions. You even see at one point when I have the interaction with the other character, which you see like a, more of a like kind of a angrier side than me. So yeah, I'd say that's a good one to check out.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it sounded like it to me, but I just was curious what you thought. And we've only got 3 minutes, but the Sweet Revenge, since we didn't talk about it before, and sorry about that, but it's kind of hard to cover all of them in just a short amount of time. But if you could give a very short synopsis and what you did in it, and then that'll be pretty close to half to signing off.
Yeah. So I played, the main character I played was Lenny Saffron, and I was like someone who makes chocolates, and someone steals a chocolate, and something happens to, I don't want to get that part of it all, but, so I go after the person who stole the chocolates, and there's something that, and I don't, and I thought that's as far as I can go with that one. But
well, yeah, because you could give it away,
yeah, that's really as much as I could tell, because because that's as much as I can without giving too much of it away. But yeah, so. I go through the trouble of chasing down the person who stole the chocolate.
Yeah, and that I really like
there's
that.
Another thing that happens. Yeah, there's another thing that happens in there too that it's bad, but I don't want to say it because I don't want to spoil the moment. But yeah, that's part of the reason too. You know why I go after. Actually, you know, it's almost like there's two people involved in it.
Yeah, it was a good one, too. I really liked it. And I don't mean to cut you off, but we're down to, like, the last minute. So anything that you want to say to any listeners that we might have or have later, like where they can contact you or whatever you want to tell them? You have, like, 50 seconds.
No, okay. So if you want to hear some of my music, voice acting and photography. I'll be doing more of that. You can check out my channel. It's under JJ4. And if you can't find it, just put The Gnome Saga. That's a good place to start. I encourage you to check it out.
Okay. JJ, because we're down to like the last 10 seconds. because Blog Talk Radio will cut you off in mid-sentence. They don't care. So it was nice having you, and I hope you enjoyed yourself and maybe come back sometime or another. And have a good night, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, and thank you, too. You have a day as well.
Okay, thanks a lot. Good night.
Good night.